Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rosie. Thank you, Brandy. Open your Bibles here this morning, the Gospel of Matthew. And the title of my message here this morning is God's Call to Worship. God's Call to Worship. Matthew chapter 2 here this morning as we look at the topic of worship here this morning. Matthew chapter 2 says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this text we have before us, and I thank you for the topic of worship. And Lord, you're a great God and a great King, and you created the heavens and earth and sea, and all there is has been made by thy great power and wisdom. And Father, we worship you here this morning as your people. Father, we give you thanks, for you are the true and living God. And Father, we are people of truth. And Lord, as we embrace the word of God, which is truth, we become people of truth. So Lord, bless us here this morning as we gather around your word. And Father, we want to be men and women that worship you in spirit and in truth. We seek as such to worship thee. So Lord, bless us here this morning. And I thank you for being our God. And Lord, help me honor your son and your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Does anybody know in the Bible where the first time worship is mentioned? Think for a minute. What was the event that where the first time in the Bible that the word worship is mentioned? What's this, Mary? No. It goes way back to the time of Abraham. When Abraham was going to offer up Isaac, and he said, told the servants, "We will go yonder and worship and return." That's the first time worship's mentioned in the Bible. You know, Abraham was a man of faith, and yeah, he was supposed to sacrifice his son, and he called that an act of worship. Now, what does worship in and of itself mean? What does the word mean? It means to bow down. It means to prostrate. It means to make yourself low. It means to humble yourself. It carries the idea of adoration, of giving glory to. That's worship. Can you worship without music? Absolutely. You know, sometimes we connect worship and music, like they plug in the, but actually worship can be totally apart from music itself. Now, does music enhance worship? Why do we sing the hymns of the faith? Why do we sing these great hymns of the faith? Because they help us worship God with knowledge. Now, there's some songs that are very popular today in the culture, but they don't have a lot of depth to them. Do you know what I'm saying? There's some songs that are just really thin, not much theology in them. And I've listened to some songs, and I listen to them, and I'm thinking, I don't know if they're singing to God or to their lover. Because if you notice, God is not mentioned. Jesus is not mentioned. God isn't mentioned. And for us to worship God truly, we got to worship with knowledge. We got to worship with our whole being. And it's not just an emotional event. Worship is much deeper than just an emotional event. Well, the first time worship mentioned, that's in Genesis. The last time it's mentioned is in the book of Revelation. Just turn here for a minute, book of Revelation. Look at this word worship here. Revelation chapter 22, last chapter in the Bible. And verse 6 says, Revelation chapter 22. "And he said unto me, 'These sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done.' Verse 7, 'Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book.' Now I, John," that's the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, "when he saw these things and he heard them, he was so overwhelmed. When I heard and seen, I fell down and worshiped before the feet of the angel." It showed me these things. Now, if God just like peeled back the the curtains of time and glory and just show John all the glories of heaven and everything that was going to happen. And you're talking about just being overwhelmed? And the angel that showed him, he just dropped at his feet. He just dropped at the angel's feet after being shown all these great and mighty revelations. Verse 9, then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. What's those next two words? Worship what? Worship God. Worship God. So you got the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, Abraham worships God. You go all the way to the end, and you're commanded to worship God. Now, I want to say a little bit about God himself. How much do you esteem God? How much do you esteem him? What do you think about God? Now, if you think little of God, does that diminish who God is? Is his glory and his majesty and his honor dependent upon what you think of him? No, not at all. He is glorious in majesty and honor and power, no matter what you think about him. Because he's God, it's in his essence, it's who he is. You can't diminish God's glory by thinking less of him. But if you think less of him, who does that impact? You. Because God wants us to worship him. Now, turn to Isaiah here for a minute. As this theme, we'll get to Matthew here. This is all introductory stuff here, okay? We'll get to Matthew. Turn to Isaiah here for a minute. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah was a prophet. Isaiah was called of God. Isaiah knew God, loved God. Some people said the book of Isaiah is the fifth gospel because he has so much of the cross and pictures of Christ throughout all the book of Isaiah. But chapter 6, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Now, again, God at certain times will just pull back the curtain a little bit. And he allows men to see his glory a little bit. And he pulled back the curtain for Isaiah. And he saw the Lord upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. The train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each having six wings. With twain he did cover his face, and twain he did cover his feet, and with twain he did fly. And he cried unto another, and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And then when they cried out, the posts of the doors moved. In other words, when they cried this out, the whole building just shook. When they cried out, holy, the posts of the building, they shook. And the house was filled with smoke. Now, for Isaiah, he knew God. He loved God. But when he saw this, the glory of God, what did he say? Woe is what? Me. I'm a man of what? Unclean lips. See, when you get into God's presence, guess what shows up pretty quickly? Your sinfulness. And what shows up is you see his holiness and his greatness, and all of a sudden you realize, whoa, I'm undone. See, God's glory, why do we worship God? Because he's God. Simple as that. He's almighty. He made everything. And he's worthy of our worship and our adoration. You know, Isaiah, the angels cried out, holy, holy. You know, some people say that's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Could be, but it could be this for emphasis. Holy, 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 like waves upon waves, that his holiness is there, just holy, holy, holy Lord of hosts. God is separate from us. Verse 5, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. What was his calling? He was one that spoke for God. And I guarantee you this, closer you get to the light, the more dirt you see. You think you're doing pretty good spiritually? Just step into God's presence a little more. And all of a sudden you'll see how unworthy you are. I want to look at this passage a little later, but Paul was caught up to what? The third heaven. He heard unspeakable things. Man's not lawful to utter. He heard those things. You know, when he came back down, what did he say about himself? He said, I'm the chief of what? Sinners. See, he saw who God is. And then he realized how wretched he was. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I've seen him. I've seen him in his glory. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and he said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is what? Purged. You know, do you see yourself as a forgiven sinner? Do you see yourself as one deserving hell, and yet God purged you of your sins on the cross of Christ? Do you see that? Those people that worship God have a sense of their unworthiness to worship God. They see their sin, their forgiven sin. To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth what? Little. But to whom much is forgiven, the same loveth what? Much. How much do you love God here today? Do you see yourself as one forgiven? Do you see yourself as one that is cleansed? See, why do people worship God? Well, because of who he is, but also for what he's done for us. God is Almighty God. And what has he done for us? He's cleansed us. He's forgiven us. He's called us to himself. Would God be unjust if he just sent everyone to hell? Would he be unjust? Would he be unjust? No, he wouldn't be unjust. We get what we just deserve. But in mercy and grace, if he saves us and lifts us up and helps us one day to walk the streets of gold and have communion and fellowship with him forevermore, is that something we can rejoice in? Is that something we can give thanks for? Absolutely. And you know what the overflow of that is? Look at Psalm 95 here for a moment. Psalm 95. Psalm 95, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. And his strength is of the hills is his also. The sea is his. He made it. And his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us what? Worship. You see, that's where it takes you. If you're redeemed people, your worship, your singing is going to come forth. Your acknowledgement of the creation of God shows his handiwork. What it's going to do, oh, come, let us worship. Let us bow down, kneel before the Lord our Maker. Are you a worshiper of God? Do you worship God? Who he is? He's God. What he's done for us? He's redeemed us. Worship God. That's what he wants us to do. Be a worshiper of him. Turn to John chapter 4 here for a minute. We really will get to Matthew here, but this just setting the backdrop here. John chapter 4. I don't know if you ever look at scripture. John chapter 3, there was a man. John chapter 4, there was a woman. Total contrast, a moral man in John chapter 3, an immoral woman in John chapter 4. Both needed to be born again. And Jesus has this encounter with a woman at the well, immoral woman, had five husbands. And she talks to him. And they talk to each other. As they have this conversation down in verse 7, the woman, he said, Jesus, verse 16, go call your husband and come here. The woman said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thine husband, that thou saidst true. You know what he did at that point? Nobody ever gets saved until they see their sinfulness. Nobody. Repentance and faith, you've got to see your sinfulness. It's not just believe on Jesus. That is true. But you believe on him to save you from your sins. What do you say from your sins? If you have no consciousness of sin, he pricked her heart here. The woman said, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Nobody knows this. Only God could have told you this. Our fathers worship. Now, wait a minute. How did she jump from having no husband to all of a sudden bringing up the issue of worship? You know what people realize? If I am in my sin and God's going to judge me one day on judgment day and I'm not right with God and I don't have a way to get saved from my sins, I got to get connected with God somehow. How do I worship this God? She's looking here. How do I worship him? She goes, our fathers worship this man. Is this where we worship in Mount Gerizim? But the Jews say we got to worship in Jerusalem. Where do we worship God? You know what she was wanting to know? How can I connect with God? How can I worship him? And that's got to be the cry of our hearts. How do we connect with God? How do we worship him? And he answered, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. It's not a place, it's a person you worship. Can you worship God in your basement where it's nobody there but just you and God? See, it's not a place, it's a person. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Jesus Christ was a Jew, the Son of God. Salvation's only through him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and what? The life. See, that's where the hour cometh, and now he is. When true worshipers, now what's the implication of true worshipers? There are what? Some false worshipers. Jesus makes a distinction. There's some people that are sincere, but they're sincerely what? Wrong. Okay? You can have sincerely wrong worship. When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. See, people of the book are people of truth. The Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. The Father's seeking. Father's looking around. Is anybody worshiping me? Anybody worshiping me? God the Father is seeking people to worship him. We just celebrated Christmas, birth of Emmanuel. You had a lot of events over the Christmas holidays. Buying presents, wrapping presents, giving presents, tree, outdoor lights. List goes on and on. Big food meals eaten. I mean, I could, all these events. But in the midst of all that, what is the number one priority that God wants? To worship what? Worship him. And if you didn't make time to worship Christ during this time, you've missed it somehow. Because that's the number one thing. It's not all the gifts and all everything that goes with all the family time. That's all good stuff. But if you don't have time to worship God, you're missing it. Because he's seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what God wants us to do. With that, let's go to Matthew here. I've got a lot of other places I go, but let's get into Matthew here because our time's going to be up here quickly. Matthew chapter 2, very familiar story. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to what? Worship him. What drove these men to come all the way from Babylon, all the way over, all the way down to Jerusalem? Many months of travel. Now, when Jesus sacrificed his life on the cross for you, was that a great sacrifice? Was that a great sacrifice? The perfect Son of God, for sinful men that were his enemies, that did him wrong, he laid down his life for those that did him wrong. That was a great sacrifice. When it comes to worship, is there any great sacrifice that's too great for you to worship God? These wise men, do you see what they did? They sacrificed. What did they sacrifice? Months of travel, danger. They didn't have nice roads like we have. Do you know what I'm saying? That was a hard travel time. But they had an inner burning desire to what? Worship God. That was what they wanted to do. They wanted to, because they, I believe God spoke to them, because later on it said that verse 12 warned of God in a dream. You know, God was speaking to these men. And you say, well, how do they know all this stuff? God told them. That's how he, in a dream, he told them, stay away from Herod. I mean, I think God revealed to them all these great truths that we see. And they wanted to work. They made great sacrifices to worship, to seek after God. Now, when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. All this entourage comes in, and all these important people, and they really stirred up the town. And when they gathered the chief priests, scribes, of all the people together, he demanded them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written by the prophets. Now, this verse 6, Micah 5:2, go to the scriptures. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And where did Herod get that information? From chief priests and scribes. Now, worship meets in spirit and in truth. Herod had the truth, but he had no heart. The chief priests and scribes, how far is Bethlehem from Jerusalem? How far is that? 6 miles. Yeah, less than 6 miles. Do you think these chief priests and scribes should have said to themselves, this is like really something going on here. I think we may go check this out. A 6 mile walk, that would not take you very long to walk 6 miles. Now, some of y'all haven't walked 6 miles in a long time. We won't get into that. But for a healthy person, that wouldn't be very far to go. I mean, you could get up in the morning and be there by noontime, easy. They did not have enough heart. And these men had just traveled from Babylon, way down, and they wouldn't even go 6 miles. See, when you love God, worship is not a burden. When you love God, worship is something you want to do. You want to be in God's. Because corporate worship, like we're doing here today, gives glory to God. Because I have been in church services where some saint of God stands up and gives a testimony, and I'm just blessed all over. Have you ever been in the church service? You heard a testimony, and you just get goosebumps all over. You've just been blessed. Now, you can worship God at home, but when you come together and you hear the saints of God singing the great songs of the faith and the swelling up of God's voices, does that bless you? It blesses me. And there's something about a corporate worship together as God. It makes a statement. I'm numbered among the redeemed. I want to be where God's people are. The corporate worship is important. They didn't have enough interest to go see where Christ should be born. Then Herod, he privately called the wise men and inquired them diligently what time the star appeared or when all this happened. He sent them to Bethlehem. Go search the young diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring me word again that I may come. What does it say? And what? Worship him. Whoa, wait a minute here. God said, those that worship me in spirit and in what? Truth. Was that a truth or a lie? That was a lie. He had no interest in worshiping God. You know, these people that put on a show, that say they're worshiping God, God sees right through it. We're people of the book. We worship God in spirit what the Spirit of God says, parameters of worship. Does God have certain ways he should be worshiped? What did Aaron's two sons happen to them when they offered strange fire before God? Struck them dead. You come into God's presence and it appears that they were drunk, because later on in that passage you go down there, it says that the priest should not drink wine, strong drink. And the implication is they came in drunk trying to worship God. God struck them down. You know why? Because he's a holy God. You step into his presence, you better show respect and honor to him. Worship God is a serious thing. And God has things that he prescribes how you're to approach him. Now, Herod, it says, I may come and worship him. But who did Herod really worship? Himself. And where does that take you? It don't take you to heaven. Yeah, you can make yourself a God. Yeah, it's fun to play God. Anybody like to play God for a day? For Herod, he liked to play God because he had his own agenda. Yeah, it's fun, but guess what? End of the day, you're not God. And, you know, for Herod, just a few verses down, look at verse 19. But when Herod was what? Verse 19, same chapter. When he was what? And when he's dead. Yeah. I guarantee you, when verse 19 happened, I guarantee you that Herod wished he had worshiped the true God, because he didn't go to a good place. When Herod was dead, see, it's fun to play God, but guess what? End of the day, you're not God, and you're going to die just like any other man. All right, that's Herod. Let's get back to the wise men. When they heard the king, they depart, and they saw the star in the east which went before them. See, this is an unusual star, because if you read it carefully, the star went before them until it came and stood over. I don't know how to explain this star, but I just knew it guided them, and it stood right over where the Christ child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. God's working in my life, and God's guiding us. And all those many miles of travel is coming to a point of being fulfilled. When they come into the house, they saw the young child, not the babe, this is approximately 2 years later, with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and what? They worshiped him. You know, God showed them that this is the Christ child, the Messiah. He showed them that this is whom they're worshiping. And they fell down and they worshiped him. They bowed down and they opened their treasures. And they presented unto them gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Is giving an act of worship? Sure is. Giving's an act of worship. What happens if I don't give? See, giving is an act of worship because it's giving back to God. Now, you can give your money. That's part of giving. But I can give myself. You ever given yourself to God? In other words, God, I'm your vessel. I give you my hands. I give you my feet. I give you my tongue. I give you my heart, my soul, my mind. I give you everything. God, you own me. What do you call that when somebody gives everything to God? A surrendered what? Vessel. In other words, God, do whatever you want with me. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I'm yours, God. See, Herod thought that he's going to keep everything. I'm not going to worship God. I'm going to do it my way. Matter of fact, he went and slew all the children that were what? 2 years and younger. Because nobody's going to take the king away from me. See, a surrendered vessel says, I don't care, God. If you want me to be king, I'm king. If you don't want me to be king, I don't care. Whatever your will is. See, that's a surrendered vessel. Herod wasn't like that. God wants a surrendered vessel that worships him. And they presented them the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And the blessing of being right with God and being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed in their own country. Another way, God's going to be with us to the end. He'll protect us. He'll guide us. Now, they traveled all this way to worship the Christ child. Are you a worshiper of God? Do you make efforts to be in God's house to worship Him? The wise men, they make great efforts to worship God. It's hard sometimes, but God wants us to be worshipers of Him. Turn to 1 Timothy in closing here, just for a closing thought here. 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is Paul's testimony, what God did in his life. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 12. How do you feel about God? Paul, this is what he felt. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who's enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer. What's a blasphemer? Somebody speaks injuriously of God, hurts God's, takes away God's honor from him. A persecutor. You know, Paul thought, I was there when Stephen was stoned. You know, when they were throwing rocks at him, I was saying, yeah, get him, get him, get him. That was Paul. He held the clothes for them. Injurious. But I obtained what? Mercy. You know, I guarantee you, if you have tasted the mercy of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the cleansing of God, the patience of God, the faithfulness of God, I mean, I could go on and on what God's done for you. You know what that should drive you to do? To worship Him. It should drive you to give thanks to Him because He's your God and He's worthy of that. I said this was closing. I got one more verse I got to close with here. So sorry. One more thing here, thought, and we'll wrap this up. Book of Revelation. The wise men traveled many miles to worship him. What are you going to do when you get to heaven? What are you going to be doing in heaven? Worshiping Him. And turn to Revelation chapter 5 here. Verse 9, and when they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book. Now that book is a title deed of the world. And to open its seal. Nobody was found worthy to open the seal but the Lamb of God. And thou was slain, was what happened on the cross. Thou hast redeemed us to God, his death, burial, and resurrection. By thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000. Times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing. And every creature is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that is in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four creatures, the beast, and the said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. The thousands upon thousands. Are you going to be there? You think about that. You're going to be there. Praising God forever and ever. What a great blessing. We can worship this God. He calls us. Worship God. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Fathers, we've looked at this topic of worship and how the wise men worshiped the Christ child, Emmanuel, the one that you sent into the world to redeem us and to give us a home in heaven. God, may we be worshipers of you and not forsake the high calling we have to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're our God. You're our Redeemer. You have saved us from our sins. God, may we be men and women of worship this week. May we worship you in spirit and in truth, for you seek as such to worship thee. So bless us toward this end, O God. There's so many scriptures we didn't look at about worship, God. But Father, I pray that the spirit of truth would burn this into our hearts and that we'd be true worshipers of you, God. Draw us into the inner circle of your spirit and that we can have communion with thee, God. May Christ in us and Christ in you, that we together can worship you through the spirit of the living God. So Father, help us toward this end to be true worshipers. And we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.